Hey, after the podcast, got a cool interview with Gabriel Iglesias. You know, the comedian, Fluffy. It'll be right after the closing jingle, so stick around for that.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
I got a tree on my house.
And we'll explain that here in just a moment. Hello, everybody. Patrick, I don't know why your microphone
was
off. It's on now. It's on now. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Just singing for myself.
Yes,
from the joy of my heart.
Yes, you are. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio. Hey, welcome back. We're Big D and Bubba. O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. And remember, if you love music, you need to check out the Pickle Jar app. We are huge fans of this app because you can do so much with it. You can tip. You can show gratitude to those who are up on stage. Or as we do, like with in-studio performances, you can tip the artists, the singers right then and there and say, hey, thanks for waking up early and going in and singing when it's the worst time in the world for you because, honestly, they hate singing in the morning. But they'll do it anyway because they know you like it. Support some great causes around town. If you're doing fundraisers, all that kind of stuff, you can do all of that through Pickle Jar. And your split is way better than if you use the other apps. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not bashing any of those other.
It's not a split. You get it all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Yes. Other apps, they take a whole bunch of whatever you raise. And that's just not fair.
Yeah.
Plus, you can watch exclusive videos and picks and all that kind of stuff. Contests. Things you can't find anywhere else. Get it right now. Picklejar.com.
I got a tree on my house.
Thank you for all of the memories, Scott Shannon.
Yeah, from Z100 to Pirate Radio to, well, that's
this
all I know.
This is Pirate Radio.
It's also the voice of
Hannity's
thing.
Yeah.
I got a tree on my house.
He was, for radio guys, it's
he was everybody's hero for a long time.
I mean,
he was
at CRS.
Country Radio Seminar.
We were on, it used to be the Sony boat. They would have, or RCA, they would have, like, they would get the General Jackson and have a big party, and you couldn't leave because you were on the General Jackson.
Right.
So it was a way to trap everybody there. And one year I was on it, and I mean, I saw across the room, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Scott Shannon. And I asked somebody at my table, they're like, yeah, he's here with, I don't remember. Somebody had invited him to Country Radio Seminar for whatever reason, just to be, you know, and I was like, I gotta go get a picture with Scott Shannon, right? I can't, like,
yeah, you have
I gotta
to
be that guy.
Sure.
So I just went up to the table and I went, Mr. Shannon, sir, can I get a picture with you? And he goes, why?
Dude.
Yeah.
I was like,
what?
And I kind of stuttered twice and he goes, I'm kidding. Let's do it. And
he started kind of the whole zoo.
That was his concept.
Thing was
yeah.
his thing of having multiple people all kind of in the studio, irreverent, you know, playing the underdog. You know, they did the whole worst to first. You know, they did a whole campaign.
They were the last place radio station
in New York City.
In New York City, out of like 40 something stations at the time. So
and just knew how to market to people, well, understanding that people always want to root behind the underdog. And so he took it and ran with it and took it to number one. And people hated him in New York media. Hated him.
Well, because he was an outsider. Where did he come from? Like Memphis or something? I think he was in Memphis before going to New York City.
Yeah. Did he and Rick Dees kind of have similar paths?
I don't know.
You looking up Scott Shannon? Yeah. But yeah, he's retiring 75?
75.
75 years old.
I'm not sure if that's
right. Oh, there you are. Look at you, sexy beasts.
I know. That's my black beard and my slightly less gray hair.
Yeah, looks good.
So he grew up an Army brat in Indianapolis. He began his radio career in North Carolina, then Columbus, Georgia, then Mobile, Alabama, then Memphis, then Nashville and then
MZAK
to
like
New York City.
ZAK, was that what was going on in Nashville?
I think so. Don't know. It doesn't say.
My favorite part about taking that picture is that I immediately sent it to both you guys. And you know, remember what I wrote?
No.
I wrote, a tree. There's a tree on my
I got a tree on my house.
Yeah, that comes from Opie and Anthony doing their Jocktobers where they
just making fun of him.
Yeah, they take radio shows and they just take clips and then just rip them to shreds. And they ripped Scott and Todd, PLJ, in New York.
Man.
He can't get out of this.
Didn't they have like a big blow up at the end? Didn't they?
Who?
Scott and Todd. Like they had an ugly radio divorce.
I don't know.
Apparently they didn't like each other or something like that. I do remember that.
It's tough to listen to some of that stuff. Like what Todd doing the phone scam stuff. It's old radio stuff. And it's basically the Jerky Boys, you know.
Yeah. I mean, y'all did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't
you know,
anymore.
You don't because it's, you know.
If you're doing this, you've got, listen, if you're new in radio and you're just doing a show now or whatever, or even if you've been doing it for a while, you've got to change your show somehow.
Well, that's everything in life. I mean, you know, the 80s were not like the 90s. The 90s were not like the 2000s. Yeah. 2000s were like the 2010s.
I think you need to be who you are. But the thing is, you are not the person you were when we were all in our 20s.
Right. Adapt to who you are now.
You know.
Current. And people see right through it. They really do. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people who, you know, are successful doing this. And you listen to them and it's awkward because you just know something's wrong. It's because that's not who they are.
Yeah.
This is not who they are. You guys know what I'm talking
this
about?
This is pretty much who we are.
No, I don't know who you're talking about. who are you talking about?
It's a lot of people, actually. It's a lot of people in radio. And it's, you know, radio gets picked on doing the whole, you know, weenie in the butt. You know,
weenie in the butt.
Yeah. And it's funny, but the reason that came about is because that was what a lot of people were doing in radio.
Did you see that TikTok of the like 22-year-old girl? And they said, you know, try listening to the radio station. And she sits in her car and turns it on, and it's like 45 seconds of sweepers, you know, and then it goes in, you know, your best hit music.
Well, that's also because radio has gotten away from radio.
Of course.
Now everybody's trying to be a jukebox. And right. I think that is, as a state of our industry, it's a bad place because what happened is everybody cut back their salaries and people would take hits and people, okay, this year it's 20% less than last year. And they did that over and over and over. And then they weaned a bunch of people out. A lot of great talented people had to leave because they couldn't afford to live. So they left the industry. And then what is left is this void where they fill it with TikTokers. No offense, TikTokers, but you can't do a radio show. I've yet to hear one. No. Not even one. But I haven't heard a YouTuber be able to do it. Mm-mm. It's not the same kind of thing.
Everything he said is right. But let me finish what I was trying to say, which is that you go from all the sweepers and the big imaging, you know, and today's hit, brand new music. And then they play like a 9-year-old song, like, you know, right out of that. And it's like no one in their 20s wants that. That's not what they want. If you want to say you're cool, be cool. If you want to say you play, like, I don't like when stations call themselves New Country and then they play Chicken Fried by Zach Brown Band or whatever. Is there, you know, I'm like, pick it. You want to be the station that plays a little bit of everything?
They're trying to sell the image without doing it.
Exactly. You know, be what you are. But it's because the guy who's writing the imaging is not there. He's not actually at the station. Or he was there and he's gone because he got fired too. And they're just reusing
They haven't re-upped it.
So, look, that stuff is cool too. There's a reason we like those big sweepers and the silly things. But you can overdo it.
It's table setting is what that is. You know, you walk up and you got everything laid out exactly right and you're ready for the food. Now you're like, bring it on. Mm-hmm. And I think radio forgot to put stuff in the oven.
There's a lot of really talented younger radio people that are coming up, you know, that's out there. There's some. I don't know who they are and haven't heard any of them, but I'm sure they're there.
I have faith. That's called faith, guys.
I would love to find some podcasters and try to retrain them because, again, podcasting is very different than radio, and radio is very different than comedy, and comedy is very different than acting. But there are some commonalities between all of those things, and if you can, you know, point people in the right direction, you could develop the next great radio host,
whatever. Yeah, there is a lot of commonality. There's a lot of, you have just a natural ability to tell a story.
Showmanship.
Yeah, and all that stuff goes into it. But just because you have that, you still have to deal with the decrease of broadcast companies, getting your foot in the door, working through the politics of it all.
Yeah, it used to be where every station in town was owned. There were two stations owned by the same company. There would be an FM and an AM station. And then across the street, there would be an FM and an AM station with a different owner. Yeah. And then across the street from them would be another different owner. And it was, so you had 15 different companies in one city that were doing the radio stuff. But the
now
weird thing is,
if you're lucky, there's three.
If you're lucky.
In some places, there's one or two.
But that's every industry.
So you used to be able to develop your craft. And, you know, if you got fired from one station, you didn't have to move. You can go work for the other station in town.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah,
we did. Didn't get fired, but
yeah.
I put $50 on Astros to win by two runs tonight. I don't know. I may have. It's Verlander's starting and Nola's starting.
Ooh.
For the Phillies.
Yeah, that's going to be...
But no, is Nola the ace? I thought, what's his name, Zach?
If you're getting the first start,
Greinke?
You're the guy.
Is that Greinke?
I know, I mean...
All the faith is in you.
I agree. I just wonder, it's like, are they... Zach Wheeler. Are they not putting Wheeler up because they think he gives them a better chance to win game two because he's not against Verlander? Like, that's one of those things where it's really weird. It's not because of rest, because everyone's had, like, what, 5 days off? You know,
I don't know. Maybe like, hey, we're going to go ahead and take a loss first game, Verlander starting, but then we'll...
I mean, Enola...
I don't know. Enola's great.
A great pitcher. I'm an LSU guy. You know, I love
both of
those guys, Aaron and his brother. But I'm like, I think the Astros are going to run away with it.
I do, too. I think it's going to be over pretty quick.
They haven't lost a game yet in the postseason.
They swept the Yankees. Speaking of LSU baseball, did you see Tommy Tanks?
Mm-mm.
He's cranking them out already. Tommy Tanks is kind of a heavy, bigger guy. Just kills the ball. And he left. I think he was at Coastal Carolina. Or somewhere. I forget. And he transferred to LSU a few months back, and he's already in the fall.
NC State.
Okay. And fell all over this kid at NC State. I mean, everyone was – he's the hero, Tommy Tanks. And then he's like, oh, that's great, bye. I'm going to a collegiate baseball powerhouse, which is not NC State. And he's playing in the fall. He's doing really well. So we'll see. Yeah,
Now it's like, okay, this time of year, I'm shifting towards hockey and I'm shifting. My football allegiances are strong. I haven't even gotten back to baseball again because the Braves were out and that was the end of baseball season for me.
We went to that Nashville Sounds game. When was that? September? It's like second week of September.
That was the end of baseball for you?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, I went to a game in April, it was completely packed. And another one in either June or July, same thing. Like, standing room only thing. Man, September rolls around, and they were like, you know, they would look, it's still better than at the old stadium it used to be. I remember one year, it was 2006, the Nashville Sounds were in the championship series. Like, they're going to win their equivalent of the World Series in AAA, and there were about 400 people at the home game for the championship. Because it's September, and people just stop paying attention to AAA baseball completely in September.
Yeah,
not
because you have football and the actual MLB is like right in the heat of everything. Everything's kind of culminating towards who's going to get into the postseason and all that kind of stuff.
It's crazy how much people like to go to baseball games until it's football season. And we're like, it's football season now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. This is maybe a little too over people's heads for media talk, but I don't think this Amazon thing is working. Yeah, I think it's too early
for football.
People don't watch it, and they'll never tell you how many. But here's the thing:
what is that?
And so it used to be on Thursday Night Football was on whatever channel it was on. Then it was on the NFL Network and Amazon last year. Now it's only on Amazon. So if you don't have Amazon Prime, You're not watching Thursday Night Football. Well, Amazon paid more money for that game than the NFL could get from any other, from a network, from anybody. So on the one hand, the NFL cares about the money, which I understand. We're getting the same, more money from Amazon than we would get to have this on NBC.
But you think it's hurting them because they're getting less eyes on it?
Getting less eyes. That's it. Well, part of what made the NFL, you know, when we were kids, the NFL was big, but it was not the dominant sport like it is, like it was 10 years ago. You know, the NFL is bigger than MLB plus NBA plus NHL combined. It's not even close. You know, it wasn't always that way. Part of that reason is because every game, there's not that many games, and every game is on TV. Every game was on network TV, so everybody can watch. And I think it hurts them. I think, okay, you're making the same amount of money, but
yeah, I agree.
Less people are watching.
Like, I'm not a huge NFL guy. I get into it mainly on Sundays. But, so the things like this morning with the news was Brady lost three in a row or whatever it was. I'm like, oh, well, I didn't even see that game last night. I was watching some of the college games.
Right.
I didn't even realize
it. I watched it because I had money on it because I have Amazon Prime.
Did you watch any of the other versions of it? Did you do the stat one? There's one version where they have the stats.
That's cool. They have the stats on the
field. It looks like you're watching NASCAR with all the little pop-up bubbles and everything. It's really cool.
But how many people are really watching it? And it made me think of the ACMs because we don't know how many people watch the ACMs. And the ACMs got whatever, I don't know what the amount is, but Amazon paid the Academy of Country Music a lot of money to put their award show on Amazon. Probably more than they would have made from going to a network. But is that not the only thing you need? You don't just need the money. You need people to watch it. Because you lose your influence.
Well,
how
that's
many
the
people
idea.
Really watch it as compared to if it had been on.
Well, that's the
NBC
idea for Amazon. Is they're thinking, okay, we can go and let's put the Academy of Country Music Awards on our platform, and then every country radio station for the week of is going to be talking about
to
Amazon.
I'm not saying Amazon didn't do the Amazon. I know why Amazon did it. I'm saying on the other side, you got to calculate what we gained in money and kind of coolness. What did you lose in actual viewers?
Of
us know how many people watch because they'll never tell us. Amazon won't tell us. But I'm sure it did well and it'll do better this year. But it's just one of those. I think it's still too early. It's just there are so many people who don't have that. We think everybody watches Netflix and Prime, and they don't.
My dad does. He's 80-something years old.
It's not just an age thing, though.
Do you think it eventually will go there?
I mean, part of me thinks, eventually everything will be, that stuff will kind of be more saturated. But it's not now. Like, we talk about HBO Max and how big it is. The House of the Dragon had 10 million viewers. But Sunday Night Football gets more than that. Okay, like, you know what I mean? And that's just because, why is Sunday Night Football the number one show for the last 15 years, for the whole year? Sunday Night Football is the biggest show on television.
It's appointment watching. That's the big thing.
Well, and because there's not really anything else on, and everybody has it.
No other game.
Everybody has NBC, right?
Yeah.
So you just go, I'll watch Sunday Night Football. If it's on, Monday Night Football used to have those ratings on ABC. They moved to ESPN. You think everybody has ESPN, but they don't. Some people don't, and some people only have the network channels still. So I don't know if you don't lose some of that. That was just going from a network station, to the biggest cable channel of all the cable channels. Now imagine going from a network station to a streaming service. So, like D said, you didn't even know the football game was on because flipping through, you don't see it.
Yeah. And see it, yeah.
See, and the interesting thing is I have cable, but I don't watch it. I watch everything streaming.
Get rid of cable.
It's thrown in. It's part of the deal. No. I have it, but I turned it on maybe once in the last month.
So do you watch?
I stream everything, or I do like what? Remember how you used to always say, I just watch YouTube now. That's kind of where I'm at. I watch a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, I do too.
I watch HBO Max and a little bit of Prime. I don't watch cable either, I mean, I am one of those people where, and obviously I watched the game last night.
So I have like five or six shows that I watch, and that's about it.
My dad doesn't watch any of that stuff. And I know he's not the prime target guy because he's in his late 60s, but he didn't watch the Saints game last week because I don't have whatever that is.
So do you have something you can watch a current game on, like a network?
Yeah, I have cable. I just don't.
Oh, you have cable.
I watch football. I literally have cable so I can watch college football.
And how much is that cable?
It's insane. I don't know, 200 and something.
What?
Oh, yeah. For the package I have, it's probably like $250.
A month?
Mm-hmm.
You pay $250 a month for cable TV?
It's not cable. It's also my internet. I have super high speed whatever, so that's included in that. If I got rid of the cable, I would still have to have the internet price goes up, and then I wouldn't have football. You know?
Man, you
should
look at that.
I think about every year getting rid of it and getting it back for football. Like, because I really don't watch cable at all.
Man, you should look. I don't want to be the guy I keep banging. I keep saying
it's my
that.
One thing. I don't have a lot of wasteful
spending.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, I do too. I'm a big football for me. Yes, that's all I want to do. Saturday, all I want to do is watch college football. I just want to go and watch it, and just that's it. And Sundays, yeah, I'll watch some NFL. I have a YouTube TV, and it's great. And it's $80.
If I paid $100
and
for
I have
high
a sports package.
Internet, if I paid $100 for high speed internet and then YouTube TV, it'd be $180. So I'd save.
And I pay $50 for high speed internet through AT&T, and it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I know. I keep.
Streaming is the way to go. I mean, it really is. I never put on regular TV. I just don't. I can't even. I think the only time is if there's a game that I want to watch that is on network stuff. That's the only time I ever go to, like, you know.
No. I'm guilty of it too, because I just said I never watched. But there's part of me that just, I know that broadcasting is such a missing thing in this country, in this society. We need it. We need shared experiences. We don't watch the same TV shows anymore. We don't go to the same music events anymore. We don't go to the same football got a little wonky there for a minute where the NFL was getting kind of polarized and people didn't want to go.
My dad still
politically, you mean?
My dad still
like, we
won't
don't
watch
need
it.
That stuff in our shared spaces because
my dad,
we have to have common
My dad used to take
experience.
Us to NBA games when I was little. He won't even put the NBA on.
I know.
My dad won't put NFL on. He's about checked out of college because of the name, image, likeness. He's like free agency and all this money they're giving him, and it's ruining college sports. And he's checking out of all of it. He's like, they're messing everything up.
But it's not just old man yells at clouds. There's a lot of younger people who got really turned off by stuff the NFL was doing. And look, I was at a game where somebody knelt down during the national anthem. The girl was singing it, and people lost their minds.
I don't know why they do. Why do they? I mean, it's like, obviously, it's a minority move. Like, not many people are doing that.
No.
And they act like everyone thinks it's okay. No one thinks that's okay. I don't know anyone who is okay with you kneeling at the anthem. I know even people who are whack jobs. They don't do that.
No, there's people. There's a lot of
people. I know. I just don't know any of them.
I don't know them either.
And the people that I know, they don't know anyone either.
I don't want to dwell on that too much because it has kind of, it's kind of gone away. Like, we're all like, okay.
Yeah, it did kind of go away.
It did kind of went away because they knew. The NFL ratings went down. The NFL ticket sales went down. Like, it did affect them. Not a lot, but just enough to go, maybe we should hang out and play football and talk about football.
Oh, and it's so hard. Dude, it's so hard to try and explain that away. You take a player takes a knee, and then they get in their, $200,000 car and drive to their $4 million mansion.
I hate capitalism.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, America's not bad to you. Okay, stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. There's things in the past. Everyone's hates, but it's not for you right now.
Even taking it back away from the politics, it goes, but that's where I come back with broadcasting. It's like we used to watch the same TV shows. We used to show up at work the next day and go,
Yeah, you watch Friends.
Oh, yeah, you see Friends last night? Or, oh, wow, the NYPD Blue or whatever the show was, and we all had shared experiences. And radio's one of those things. You know, radio, everybody used to listen to the radio on the way to work so you could talk about what you heard. You know, you're here. There's a lot of sexiness to on demand. Like, oh, I can watch this whenever I want, or I can listen to whatever song I want. But you're missing out on the fact that you and
the togetherness,
the togetherness,
the connected
of it.
Feeling.
And that's what I think radio, radio, and really TV as well. We don't do a good enough job selling that as a positive. We need to tell people as an industry, this is important because it's a shared experience. Yeah. You're listening to this podcast right now. I love you. Thank you for listening. But you're listening on Saturday or on Tuesday or on, you know, Friday night at midnight. Mm-hmm. You're not listening to the same. It's not the same as the radio show. There's magic in the fact that when we're talking on the air.
Well, how many times do people say, I'm sitting at a stoplight and I'm laughing tremendously and I look over at the car next to me and they're laughing too.
People say that, but they used to say it a lot more 10 years ago.
And so there's also that thing of it being, it's happening right now. And if you miss it, you miss it.
You miss it.
And what happened is what Bubba said, they got rid of a lot of really good talent that were doing good product. They were doing great shows. So that if you missed it, like you really did miss something great. Mm-hmm. But now it's so watered down and some of these are not great. And so like there's really nothing to miss. It goes back to quality. You've got to have a good show. And it's got to be – listen, Bubba and I have always said we don't want to be great every day. We want to be good every day with splashes of greatness throughout the week. Like, hey, Thursday show was great. Wednesday show was good. We want to be consistently good with these moments of great.
Yeah.
And, man, people, that's a rare thing to find anymore.
We had a great show Thursday?
No, Thursdays was terrible.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But Wednesdays was...
Today was pretty good. Right?
Today was good. I'm looking forward to Halloween. As far as the radio show, Halloween, we do all the stories and all that. Oh, I know. It freaks me out, but it's like I can't turn it off, and I can't get to the lines fast enough. And
I'll be in my office. I will not have headphones on. I will be screening calls and not paying attention. At all. I cannot listen to people's ghost stories. And I know it's great and everybody loves it. And then we do it every year and I just...
I love it.
Hate to go back. I'm sorry. Yeah. The other thing is, I feel for us, our show in particular, that we are going to be called on to stay in the game longer than maybe we want to be because of all that. Because it's... You've got a
because
few,
there's not a lot of options.
You've got a few who are right, who are good. We're good at what we do and have been for Bob and I 25 years. That's just our show together. That's and before that, we did a decade of or more away from each other. And we don't have that anymore. And I feel that we're going to be called on to keep going because there's no one on the sideline. You know,
we're going to be like Tom Brady.
Yeah, yelling at our sideline. Yeah. He also, by the way, got divorced.
Wait, what?
Today. Yeah, it's done.
What?
I got a tree on my house.
Yeah. Why Tom Brady? I didn't even know that they were getting divorced.
Oh,
yeah. I knew they were getting divorced. That news has been out there for a while.
Yeah. I missed that completely.
So she didn't want him playing and was like, and he's like, I want to keep playing. And that's kind of where everything kind of started, according to the media.
Oh, it's not done. They're filing today. Okay. What?
Wow, where you been, man?
I totally missed that.
Yeah.
You know what? It's Thursday Night Football. That's what happened.
That's
you would have known.
You would have known about it if you'd...
This says they finalized their divorce.
Yeah, I think it's finalized.
Yeah,
they're done.
Holy crap. Yeah, that's like when Miranda and Blake got divorced and we didn't find out about it until...
A week later.
To me is the most... amazing leak proof. Whoever was in charge of keeping that secret should work for the government. Because no one knew that was happening until it was done. And it takes at least 60 to 90 days, depending on the state and your situation. They didn't have kids. You could do it quicker, but it still takes like 60 days minimum in most states, 90 days in most. I'm like, so how did anyone keep that secret for months?
Yeah. I don't blame Brady for getting divorced. She is a dog. She is so ugly.
I think that's sarcasm, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. You're good. Once again, you've foiled me. Yes. So I think he wanted to keep playing, and she like what? Also, what does she care?
Well, she has way more money than him anyway. She's like worth two or three times what he's worth.
Man, I'm gonna call BS on that.
I don't know. Tom Brady got a lot. Man,
you guys want to know how? I'm gonna look it up.
Not just football, but endorsements.
You guys want to hear how I spell Gisele Bündchen?
Oh yes, yes.
G H E L.
No.
Gisele. What's her last name? Bündchen.
Bündchen.
Bündchen. Boy, I was way off, guys. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, you were.
Net worth. These are hard to.
I'm looking at a couple of these. They're saying $400 to $450 million.
But again, how much of that is?
It's not combined.
Is his money?
She is the entertainment industry's 16th richest woman.
Okay, but Brady's got to be worth at least that much.
Okay, so check it out. $450 million. Let's just say that and just do Tom Brady.
Brady net worth. It doesn't say. This says north of $250 million.
Yeah. So she's got twice as much money as him.
But they're basing that on his salary as a football player. Tom Brady had more endorsements just in the last couple of years.
No, this is like, endorsements and everything as well.
But we can say she does make more.
Here is the New York Post. They're saying, the two of them together, they're breaking it down. So Brady is $250 to possibly $330 million, according to one. And then it says that she is worth, around that $400 million
mark. If you type in any celebrity's name in Google, one of the first searches will be net worth. And I want to tell you that it's almost always bullcrap.
It's never right.
It's never right because nobody knows what these people's holdings are. You can guess sometimes based on people's salary, like or with actors and actresses, how much they make for a movie. You don't know what they've spent. You don't know what they've invested. You don't know what they own. So a lot of times, with celebrities, it's so hard.
I hope she got a prenup.
I don't think they did, but I mean, who cares? Just go in and split it up.
Just take your own. Everyone, do your
I mean,
own thing.
Seriously, everyone's if she, fine. Who cares? You both have hundreds of millions.
I hope she got the prenup because she's worth so much more. She brought more to the table.
When you have that kind of money, you don't have to do 50-50 marital property. You can just take back what you think is yours. They ain't gonna fight over $20 million when they both have over $250 million.
It's like fighting over a quarter.
Yeah.
I got 50 cents.
Did you see Elon fired the CEO and two other guys yesterday?
Already? I heard he fired a bunch of people, but it didn't say specifically who.
He fired longtime Twitter executives, including, according to three people familiar, Chief Executive Prang Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer Ned Siegel, and Vijay Gadhi, Head of Legal Policy, Trust, and Safety, were all let go. What a weird head of legal policy, trust, and safety. Mm-hmm. God, that sounds like an iHeart.
The CEO and the CFO. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless.
By the way, all these people saying that, it's going to die now.
No, it's going to be bigger than ever.
Bigger than ever.
I meant to tell you, when the video of him walking in with a sink.
Yeah.
And I was like, you were like, why is he doing that? I told you. I was like, he's doing it because, he's taking everything in the – plus the kitchen sink. No, that was not it. The line was, I'm inside Twitter headquarters. Let that sink in. And I was like,
let the sink in.
He had a sink and he brought it in.
What a doofus.
I love it.
What a goober.
That's the richest man in the world. Bubba would come up with a pun and pun it up. God, let that sink in.
I would have had a better one.
Bubba's poor Elon.
Bubba is. It's like Elon, but poor and not that smart.
We're both white and pasty.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm very interested to see what happens with Twitter now, because a lot of people are saying he way grossly overpaid now because, what's it going to be worth 5-6 years from now?
I think that's why he's going to cut 75% of the force.
That's part of it.
Part of it. Also, man. And they also posted a picture like, here's Elon with the workers at the Twitter, one of the Twitter coffee shops. Yeah. And I look at it, and it's like...
It looks like a coffee shop in a really nice...
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and they, like, people who are there at the counter, I'm like, it's a... I'm like, what? That is what you... That ain't working. That's the way you do it.
Yeah.
Get your...
Meanwhile, when we used to work for a big corporation...
I wasn't going to do it.
When we used to work for a big corporation, we couldn't even get them to change the coffee machine. Like, remember the coffee pot had a crack at the top?
Oh my God,
they wouldn't buy a new pot. Yes. Somebody, and it was you had to use that pot because it went with the fancy machine.
Good, man. They had to spend all that money on that mist tunnel at headquarters.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
We can't give you guys.
Boy.
They canceled cost of living increases. So we used to get like a 2.5% pay increase every year, or 2%, 3%. And in 2009, they stopped doing that. And from 2009 until we left at the end of 2013, nobody got a raise. I didn't get a raise, really a real raise, from 2005 to 2013.
Yep. And they spent how much money on this?
It's a hologram. We have a.
It was 2018 is when they had the mist tunnel.
It was before 2018.
It was at headquarters, and you would walk through it, and it had. It would play music and put logos of the radio stations they owned, and they spent all this money on it. You talk about being tone deaf to the people that work for you.
Oh, they did stuff like that all the time.
That was 2014. You're right. I looked it up.
iHeart Mist Tunnel. Do you remember the time I said, hey, we've got one, and I had a mister and I sprayed water in the air. I go, hey, it's our mist tunnel. Anyway.
No, we missed the mark.
We did miss that.
Okay. Are we done?
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah, we can. Okay. Yeah.
Sure. Once again, thank you, Scott Shannon, for being an inspiration to all of us.
Yes.
I know he will. He's going to listen to this because I'm going to forward this to his social media.
We spent only about 2 minutes talking about him.
Two minutes more than pretty much anybody else is doing.
But yeah, he was. Dude, when I was first coming up in radio, that was the pinnacle. I wanted to work at Pirate Radio so bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was like the place.
Him and Deez, man. Him, Rick Deez.
Yeah. Casey Kasem was the man back then, too.
You had big dreams. I didn't want...
Casey.
I wanted to work at KSMB in Lafayette, Louisiana. I never got to work for that station.
Did you make it to the Marvel building?
I did. And we had to record... This will tell you how great that station was. We had to record phone calls on cassette tape.
Yeah, Bubba worked there.
It was horrible. There was no editing. You recorded on.
That's what we did.
The morning show.
And we didn't have a phone system. We had a speaker. That's what this was.
And you pulled the microphone. It was a Radio Shack realistic.
You pulled the microphone down to the speaker.
And it sounded like this when I'm.
And they would talk and they would.
Yeah. The guy who does the morning show on KSMB is the same guy who was there when I was a kid.
He's there now?
He's still there. Bobby Novosat.
Really?
Bobby Novosat. Bubba must have worked with him.
What's his
KSMB in Lafayette, Louisiana.
KSMB.
They interviewed me for one of those, you know, radio trade magazine things and said, who did you grow up listening to? And I was like, the same guy who's still there.
Oh,
Bobby
Novosat. Have you seen the logo?
It looks like 1987.
Look at that.
Yes!
Is it the same old one, the bubble letters?
Wow.
No, they changed it a little bit, but it's
the
still.
Gradient.
Wow.
They used to call it 94 and a half. Because that's when I was there. 4.5, yeah. And I still hear. I can still hear the jingle. 94 and a half. KSMB. It was the late 80s at least.
He looks like he's 40 years old.
Oh yeah, he's had some really good work.
Oh, has he?
Good for him, man.
How old is he?
I don't know, but he could have been 25 years old when I was listening. 40 years ago or 35 years ago, so he might be.
Forget all the other guys that I worked with over there.
Yeah, he could just be. Yeah, he could have started really young. Yeah, he could have been like us.
I started working with y'all. You were in your early 20s.
Everybody was like, oh, he's like Rick Deez. He's the Cajun Rick Deez.
Oh, boy. He's had some work.
He's been there so long.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, I don't care.
And you know what? That's a great example of a show that changed because the stuff he was doing in 1988 and 89. Or in the early 90s, you could never get away with now. But he moved on, you know what I mean? Like, he had to change it. So, I haven't listened in a while, because I don't live there, and I'm on this show. But he did. He had changes. He retired. Used to do characters and had people calling in that was the same people every day. And you had to get moved past all that stuff.
Frankie Ray listened to him?
No, not Frankie.
Dude, who's the guy who used to do the...
Sadly, Frankie Ray is not a character.
No, but I'm saying he had the same people calling him every day.
Who's the guy that call... Who he does that?
Charlie Q. Licker?
No,
that
no.
Kind of thing?
He's a news talk guy. I think he's retired now.
LA.
Yeah, he was on Premiere when we signed with him.
Oh man. Phil?
Oh my.
I think you're in the part.
Phil. What he would do is he would get
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry. So he would get a call. He would be the caller.
Oh yeah.
So, had you ever seen him do it?
No.
He did it live.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I'd never seen him do it.
I think he had a cough button mm-hmm. on his mic. Yeah. So he would...
It would mute it, basically.
Yeah, he would mute his mic and talk on the phone.
So like when Bubba pretends to be Luke Bryan or something.
Yeah.
Somebody calls.
But he's talking
to
himself.
Walk out of the room.
So he's going back and forth from him to the caller, which is also him, but with a weird voice. And the caller would say something outrageous that people would just like lose their minds over, couldn't believe. And so he would get calls, and people would call, and he would conference them with himself on the phone, and he would just berate the caller, and they would just get so mad.
He would inflame them and then berate them, and the whole time he was playing both parts.
Yeah,
it's genius.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's really.
I want to do that radio show. Can we do that radio show? No,
I mean,
I can just be the call. I can just call in and just say crazy stuff.
I mean, I think it would be obvious.
I mean, so what?
We would go, oh my God, you breathe like, is this Patrick?
You're not supposed to give it up. You have to pretend you don't know it's me. I mean, I'm sitting right there with my phone talking to you.
My favorite thing is when people call in. The guy called in this week and was like, hey, can y'all reach out to Jason Aldean or something?
Can I talk to Jason Aldean? And Bubba just
calls
the hotline,
Jason,
and then he's just Jason Aldean.
Yeah, and he's doing, and he's, you know, he's over there, you know, going, hello.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, is this Jason?
Yeah, Jason Aldean.
Yeah, you know. My favorite, though, was his Kenny Chesney, because Bubba only... Hey, can we talk to Kenny Chesney,
yes,
Jason?
Kenny
is he there?
Yeah, hold on, let me get him. Hi, Bob.
That's all Bubba can do with Kenny Chesney.
Just the hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Remember the time we were Randy Travis, and he called and got Super Bowl tickets?
Yes! Yes, now I have that tape. We play it every year at the Super
Randy
Bowl.
Travis.
See you.
Get my Super Bowl tickets.
Oh, my God, that was so uncomfortable. We called the Super Bowl. And
it was when it
as
was in
Randy,
Atlanta.
Yeah,
it was like
and he was needing. I'm not sure. What did you do? Go into it. Do you remember?
Hey, this is Randy Travis. I was supposed to meet at gate G4 to get in to sing the anthem tonight for the World Series Bowl.
The funny thing is that the Super Bowl that year, it was Travis Tritt was performing, but we called as Randy Travis, and they were like,
know.
"Oh, yes, Mr. Travis."
Hey, is Travis Tritt there, Randy? And the thing is it like we'll do this, and it's so obvious.
Like I'm pretty sure everyone knows that it's not those people. That
the
it's
only,
just Bubba over
I'll
there.
I'll tell you what, though, there's only one because I know because she texts back. She would keep texting me. I hope she doesn't hear this. Do you remember the one that you did, Keith? It was Keith Urban, and you did a Keith Urban thing. And to this day, she still thinks that.
I remember talking to her. Yeah,
yeah. She still thinks.
Yeah,
she
I remember.
Talks to
she was very non. She was a sweetheart. That's actually a terrible Keith Urban.
It's really bad. That's usually the point.
I don't know.
It's like
it
the old South Park line. All celebrity voices are impersonated badly. I mean,
she still texts going, "Oh, hey." You know, today's the anniversary of you guys calling Keith Urban for me. And I like want to go like,
hey lady,
you know, but I just go like, oh yeah, what a day.
You don't want to shatter her love for you guys. And it's especially for me as well.
That's it.
You don't want to shatter her heart and make her feel as though she's not getting the real thing. And that's what we brought here with Bubba.
The thing is, you got the less you talk, the better. The more believable it is,
yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah, it's like the Kenny Chesney. If you just say "Hey, boy," you're good. Hey, boy.
That sounds exactly like Kenny Chesney. Yeah. My favorite was when the guy called him. He's talking to this Jason Aldean. I go, hey, Jason, why don't you sing him one of us? What do you want to hear from Jason Aldean?
I'm bumming out the lyrics to any song.
He's like, what was the song he requested? Like,
Night Train. Night Train. Saying Midnight Train to Georgia.
I'm coming back in the studio.
Okay, please do. Garrett, do we have the video of that? We need to post that next week or something, because I actually ended up grabbing a phone so I could put the camera on Bubba, who's like lounging on my couch.
Oh, yeah, he left
office,
the studio went into
and sitting in there
studio.
And doing it. It was just so funny.
All right. Okay. Well, this is fun, guys. Thank you. Hope you
I'm glad I showed
weekend.
Up.
Hey, Carson, thanks for coming to the podcast.
Do you guys not tell me this anymore?
Ladies and gentlemen, Shania Twain.
Okay. I was like, I feel like I hear laughter. Oh, they're podcasting. The never mind, I'll leave. Bye.
We started
early. Hey, Scott Shannon retired.
It's good to see you. I got a tree on my house.
Okay.
All right. Well, again, thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't forget, share it. Tell your friends. Say, guys, listen to this. It's a great way to waste some time. If you're on a road trip, we have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds
400
of episodes. And you never know what you're going to get. Some days you're going to get something like this. Some days you're going to get something good. You just never know.
I feel pretty good about this conversation. Right? No? Okay. What was that? I thought he was going to hit a tree fell on my house.
I was.
I got a tree on my house.
All right. Thank you again, Gabriel Iglesias, after the closing jingle for those of you who are listening on podcast apps.
There's more.
There's more.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show.
I got a tree on my house.
On the radio every day. Mm-hmm. It was the podcast.
Hey, boy.
Hi, boy.
Hi, boy. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy, joins us on the hotline. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Hey, you still got that Trans Am?
I don't have the black. I have two. I had two Trans Ams. I had a black one, and I had a blue one. The black one is the one that I recently got rid of. It was a 2015 Bandit.
Yeah.
But I do have my 1979 blue Trans Am.
Sweet. That black one, Bubba, is the one that they redid.
Yeah,
and
it was
made
like
it
the,
all. Yeah,
they took a Camaro and then turned it into the Trans Am with
sick.
The Pontiac. Those are really cool, man.
Is that the coolest car you think you have?
Well, let me see. That particular car. Let me tell you something. It was an awesome looking car, and the amount of power. I almost crashed. I had Jay Leno in the car, and we fishtailed, and we almost hit a truck. It was a lot of car for anybody, and. I found myself not driving it as much because I was afraid of messing it up.
Oh yeah, I know a lot of people like
expensive car.
People with Vipers do that.
You know, I went to the Barrett Jackson auction and got a pretty penny for it, and then I wound up buying six cars with that money. So yeah.
Well, you're also a businessman as well. Hey, talk to us about this new show, Stadium Fluffy. It's on Netflix. It's available now, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's my new special, and it's the first two-hour Netflix comedy special, and it's the biggest special that they've ever done. So,
wow.
Best way I can say it is it's the greatest night of my life, and they filmed it.
That is Netflix kind of the place to go now? Is it, it used to be kind of, you know, you
it was Comedy Central,
first,
yeah.
Yeah, and then you kind of get to, is Netflix kind of the go-to now?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's so many options when it comes to streaming services. And then, of course, you know, you got cable. Comedy Central definitely was where, you know, the place where it was the place to be. And then Netflix took over. I had a good relationship with, you know, with Comedy Central for many years. And then, of course, you know, Netflix, yeah. They're the ones that knew how to sign the big checks.
Yeah, so I was looking at the trailer for the special as we were getting ready for the interview, and I'm like, man, I love Gabriel for so many things. But one, because you wear shorts like us. You're just a regular dude.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get dressed up for your shows. I mean, I know you do. You have outfits. You're like, this is going to be the one I'm going to wear when I slay Dodger Stadium and blah, 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 blah. But no, it's just like you're just a regular dude still. You haven't lost it.
I made up my mind early on that I wanted to be comfortable when I went up on stage, and I hate suits. So that, you know, I avoid weddings, I avoid funerals. Anytime you got to dress up, I'm not trying to be there.
Yeah.
So you're like, you want me there? I'm gonna wear shorts.
Yeah, just letting you know.
And also,
I probably own maybe 2 to 3 pairs of pants. And I own about 30 pairs of shorts.
I relate.
So, yeah.
For people who don't know, if you wear shorts all the time, when you finally do wear pants, it's like walking around in a blanket. You're just so hot and uncomfortable.
Yes.
You're like, man, I just free the legs. Show some calf.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man, that's the best way to put that. Especially when you're in the car and you're wearing the pants.
Oh, and the heaters.
I like the fact that if I need some air instantly, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Some air. I can always, you know, just pull the shorts up a little bit. But, you know, if you're wearing the pants, man, you're going to cook it.
Comedian Gabriel Iglesias is joining us. The new special on Netflix, it's called Stadium Fluffy. And
it's so historic. You realize that's he's the first comedian ever in history to headline Dodger Stadium. And wow. They went ahead and filmed it.
Wow. Did you get behind the scenes stuff at the stadium or anything? Like, give you like the
let you
the
do a little tour? BP?
Yeah, did you do some BP?
You know what the cool part is that they're also releasing a documentary, the making of Stadium Fluffy, because there was so much that went into it. It was, you know, it took a year plus of planning, and it took, you know, Netflix had to be on board, Live Nation had to be on board. There was so many moving parts for this special to happen, and so they had a crew there to document the whole thing.
Is that going to be out? Is that available now, or will be?
That will be part of the you know, you'll see it. You'll be able to catch that on Netflix.
Okay.
Do gotcha. They go into the thing about Fluffy on the field where they had to expand everything because there were so many tickets sold?
No, they didn't. But we did. You know, clearly they added a second show, and the beauty of that is that it allowed us to get all the technical bugs out of the way, because anytime you're doing a venue that large, you're going to have issues with either sound or lighting. And, you know, we were able to get it dialed in so that once Saturday rolled around, it was on fire.
I want to say, because it's such a big deal, for a comedian to sell out a stadium is one thing. For a comedian to sell out a stadium and they have to expand the seating and he sells it out again, mm-hmm. is another thing. Yeah. Also, to do that in 2022 when everybody is so touchy-feely and afraid to tell a joke is even more impressive. So, Gabriel, yeah. the fact that you did all of this mm-hmm. and when you did it is pretty crazy.
Yep.
Yeah, these are some sensitive times, so you got to be very mindful. Unfortunately, I got in just in time.
For sure. Hey, check him out.
I don't know, man. Nowadays, you sneeze the wrong way, you're going to get in trouble. So.
You can check him out, fluffyguy.com. Also, same thing on Twitter and Instagram. And check it out. It's on Netflix. It's called Stadium Fluffy, Gabriel Iglesias. Dude, good to talk to you. And congratulations. We'll be watching on Netflix.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you, man.